the glory due his name. A lot of good memory verses we have from this series. What a blessing memory verses are. Because they're with you when you wake up, and they're with you when you walk by the way, and when you lie down. And when you rise up, they're there. In work or wherever we might be, we might not be able to get out our Bible and look at it, but God's word is there. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. The final lesson in our series, rest in the Lord. The glory that's due his name. The key verse for the series was Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We need to offer our lives to the Lord. Brother, Jake, would you fill that up for me? I've got a bit of a cold. We need to offer our lives to the Lord. Why? Because he is due that. He is due that. The Lord is due that. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. As we look at our lesson today, we want to consider five things. Thank you, Brother Jake. First, we want to see that we are to rest in the Lord, and not only for salvation, but also for our daily lives. Secondly, we need to know that those who have trusted Christ as Savior do not have to fear death and can look forward to the rest of eternity with the Lord. Then thirdly, we need to learn to trust the Lord for everything in life and find rest in him each hour of each day. Then fourthly, to recognize the greatest things we can do for our children is to live for the Lord. Then finally, to rejoice in knowing that the Lord Jesus has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. Following along in your lessons, you know what? There's scribbling in there, but try to look through. We're on lesson 13. I'll look for that at the end of class. Make sure you give it back. Don't just watch me look around the pulpit. Where'd my book go? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 37 is a psalm that we're on today. Psalm 37 has lots of good memory verses in it. Psalm 37, a lot of the verses are kind of like the Proverbs where they stand alone. A verse or two will stand by itself, and then another verse or two will stand by itself. A lot of good memory verses in this chapter. Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That's a good verse to have on hand. That's a good verse. And then follow that up with verse 4, because you get the word delight there in the end of verse 23. Carry that word delight over to verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Those desires obviously are not carnal desires. Those desires obviously are righteous desires, God-centered desires. Verse 25, David, I have been young, and now am I old, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his people begging bread. We can rest in the Lord. We can rest in the Lord. He cares for us. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. God offers us an eternal rest to come in the future, but he offers us a daily rest in our lives. As hard things come, as things bother us, things come up. We notice in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. When we don't wait on the Lord, when we don't put our faith and trust in him, that's when our lives are difficult. We can cause ourselves stomach problems. We can bring stress on ourselves. We just need to simply rest in the Lord. How do we know we can do that? Because we have seen God prove himself faithful many times in the Word of God. We've seen God prove himself faithful in our own personal lives. We've seen God prove himself faithful in other people's lives. We have these testimonies. We have the promises in his Word that he will do that. Following along in your lesson, the 37th Psalm was penned by David when he was an old man. It's wonderful to have this testimony of King David. He could look back across his life and testify that he had never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David, we hear much about David throughout the Bible, probably written more about outside of the Lord Jesus Christ than any man in the Bible. David, a good example for us. Why? Because we fail. David failed. David failed miserably, and yet he was a man after God's own heart. God's own heart. What a blessing that in spite of our failures, that if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that we can walk before him. Many things we learn from David. The Psalms, I've loved going through the Psalms. We get these verses, we memorize them, we have them, and they're truths for us. They're those victory verses that Pastor talks about. Have a victory verse for whatever it is, the issue that is in your life. Have a victory verse for it. You can recite it. The Holy Spirit can work on it and work on your heart through it. A couple of verses I'd like different people to read throughout the lesson today. Philippians 2:12, who'd like to read that when I call for it? Jake. Romans 4:5. Mrs. Moore. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, Brother Jerry. Hebrews 13:5, Brother Don. Okay, when I call for those, have them ready if you would. Brother Don, we'll start with you. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. I would never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a promise. We can rest in the Lord on that promise. Verse 25, David had said, he'd never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed baking bread. Notice with me in Psalm 37, 1 through 6, let's read along. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as a noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. God has promised to care for his own. The Lord has promised to care for us. God gives us some very explicit precepts here in this chapter. Verse 1, the Lord tells us, fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. When things come in my life, what do I tend to do? I tend to fret. I start out with some fretting, and then I go into the planning stage. Lord, I can fix this. I can make this go. And then I get to the point where, Lord, I tried, and I wasn't able to do it, and then I just go to the Lord, and And he's always there. He's always there. What a blessing that is. Then in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. And then in verse 4, we're exhorted, delight thyself also in the Lord. Then in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And then in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The most difficult thing to achieve in Christian life is this rest. It is hard for us to even understand it. To live and to practice this rest is very difficult. By nature, we are people who want results and seek actions. We want to have visible indications that something is happening. God says we are to rest in the Lord. We can indeed rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can rest in that fact, that God has done it for us. He's taken care of all of it for us. Matthew 11:28-29, turn with me there. Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. We indeed can rest in the Lord. Christ invites us to find rest in him. There's a rest in salvation, but there's also a rest in the Christian life. Not only do we have an eternal rest already waiting for us, but we can rest each day in the Lord. As decisions come up, we've all had big decisions in our life, decisions that we've carried for a number of days, carried to the Lord on our knees, carried to the Lord in tears. But we can rest in the Lord. Why? Because he cares for us. He cares if a sparrow falls out of the sky. He died for you and I. He cares for us. The Lord cares for us. We can rest in that. When we get in troubles and we get in hard times, we can remember the fact that God cares for us. We can rest in that fact. God's word speaks to our spirit, and this is where we find rest. When God's word speaks to our spirit, that's when we can find rest. How does God's word speak to our spirit? When we read it, when we meditate upon it, God's word will speak to our spirits, and he will bring rest. Page 54 in your lesson, in Hebrews chapter 4, you're at Matthew, turn back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, in Hebrews 4, 1 through 11, as we go into the section, a rest in eternity, where God speaks an Old Testament example in which the unbelieving Israelites did not enter into the promised rest that he had for them. Rather, they died in the wilderness because of unbelief. They didn't enter into that rest. Now, was it a condemnation of hell? Certainly not. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. But that blessing that God had promised them, they missed it. Why? Because of unbelief. I can miss the joys of resting in Jesus because of unbelief. You can miss those joys. You can miss that comfort of resting in Jesus because of unbelief. Verse 1, Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into the rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Then verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And then verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. What a promise. There is a rest for us. And then finally, verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We labor to enter into that rest. Do we labor to enter into the eternal rest? No, certainly not. Jesus Christ did that. We have that eternal rest already. What do we labor for? We labor for the daily rest. How do we labor for it? Well, we try to set ourselves aside and try to look to the Lord. We pray, we read the Word. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be real in our lives and alive in our lives. Following along in your lessons, we say we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that we have an eternal rest. As a matter of fact, this is what God refers to in Hebrews 4:9, where he says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. What a blessing, what a truth that we have a rest. Not only an eternal rest later on, but we have a daily, hourly rest here on earth right now as we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in faith each day. As far as eternity is concerned, by faith, we know that we are going to enter into eternal rest. We trust him for eternity. We trust him to miss hell. We trust him to get into heaven. But often we will not trust him each day. We will not rest in him each day. It can be very difficult when it comes to resting in the Lord each hour of each day. As cares come upon us, and the cares seem bigger to us than our God. And certainly they're not. Our God is big. Our God is big. Anybody ever use Google on the internet? There's a thing there, you make it go in and bigger and bigger and bigger and smaller and smaller. And there's only about 10 things there, and you can't get very far away. But when we think about God, if that bar were to keep on going and we just kept clicking and we step back from the earth, we step back from the galaxy, we step back and you step back and you step back, and man keeps stepping back with the space Hubble Space Telescope, and you know what? Man does not see an end. What a God. What a God we serve. What a God. The order of the system is just amazing. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. What a mighty God we have. I work with people that love the earth and worship the earth, and they try to help the earth. They're afraid the earth can't make it without their help. And I say, are you serious? You must really think you're big if you think this earth can't make it without you. Because if you were to look at you on Google and just start clicking that mouse away, it wouldn't be long before you'd be gone, and even the earth would be gone. That's how big our God is. That's how big our God is. We can rest in that fact, that that God of all creation cares for us. Then secondly, a rest in death. A rest in death. There's a rest in death for the Christian because we are resting in God for salvation because the Lord Jesus Christ has done all the work on Calvary. We know that in a moment of our dying, we will have no fear. We will have no fear. Paul says, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Praise the Lord, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. In Luke, as the beggar died, he died, and the next verse says, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. What a blessing. The rich man also died and was buried. What a contrast. What a contrast. And in hell. Jesus Christ said in John 11, 25 and 26. Let's turn there if you would, please. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The Lord had come back. Lazarus was dead. The sisters were heartbroken. And the Lord looked at her, and what a truth he gave to her. What an excitement. What an excitement when he told, when Jesus looked at her and said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. This is where it's at. He'll live again. He'll live again. What a blessing that day that the Lord came to one person that needed him, and she found that rest in him today. That day, she found that rest in him that day. Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. We can rest in that fact. We can rest in that fact. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Big and loud. Who's reading that? Praise the Lord. Behold, I show you a mystery. Something that you've not seen before, you not been revealed to you before. Show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What a blessing. That's not just a verse that we see over the door going to the nursery in many churches. How many of you have ever seen that above the nursery door? We shall all be changed. That's not just for that. That's for eternal life. Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We can rest in that fact. Then we rest in life, a rest in life. We say we are going to trust God when we die, and we're going to trust him in heaven. We need to trust him each day of our lives. We need to trust him in the things that come our way. When we don't trust the Lord, it just shows God, and really it shows ourselves, and it shows people around us that we really aren't trusting the Lord. When they see the fret and the worry, we need to trust him for each day. He cares about each day. He cares about the things that we bring before him. He cares. When we give our lives to God, following along in your lessons, when we give our lives to God and know that he will care for us, that he will accomplish his will for our good to his glory. Pastor often says, you know, God's not, what's that he says? God's not terribly worried about, how does he finish that statement about your happiness? And of course, the Lord does care for us. I'm not saying that. But what he's saying there is we're here to glorify God. God is the one that we're here to glorify, not ourselves. Mankind, who's the most important person in the world? Every Saturday morning, every cartoon, at least when I was younger, the most important person in the world is you. And that's what they pounded in our children's head. And then they wonder why when they grew up, that nothing mattered to anybody except what they wanted. What they wanted. And they can't understand. I wonder why these children are doing this. God is the most important person. God is the most important person. And then God will bring us rest. He will accomplish his will for our good, but to his glory. To his glory. Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Of his good pleasure. We should be ashamed that we worry and fret about so many things in life. No wonder the Lord says in Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Salvation is not just for dying and for eternity. It is also for living. Living out our Christian life. Philippians 2:12.
Wherefore, my beloved, if ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more, I ask, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Is Brother Rayford saying work to be saved? No, he's not saying that, certainly not. But now we are saved. Now work out your own salvation. Say, Lord, today I'm going to give you my life. Here it is. Here it is. It's for the living. Work it. Remember that David gives testimony in Psalm 37:25 that he had not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Christ has promised us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Someone read that earlier in Hebrews 13:5. A woman came to an altar one day and spoke with the pastor. Very concerned, a lot of issues, a lot of things going wrong in her life. And just really having a bad time in her life. And finally the pastor looked at her and said, ma'am, has God forsaken you? I mean, to listen to you talk, you'd think God just walked off and forsook you. Well, she said, no, I guess he hasn't. And the pastor helped her to understand that God hadn't forsaken her. He said, then, ma'am, everything is going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Pastor preached a message one time about which side of the altar are we on? Are we on the side with me? Are we on the side where it's, God, let my life honor you. Let my speech honor you. Let my giving honor you. Let this honor you. And pastor preached that message. And where are we? Where are we? We need to be over here. We don't need to be over here on the us. We don't need to get hung up on us. God will take care of us. The greatest thing we can do for our children is to live for the Lord. God will bless them because of the lives of their parents. Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water on him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Very important, parents, that we walk a life of faith. It's very important. And I say parents. I say anyone. Who does it matter to? It matters to God. It matters to you. And it matters to people around you. People around you will see your God. And they'll see how big he is or how small he is if you can't trust him. If I can't trust him, they'll see how small our God is. And obviously our God is not small. It's just in our minds. Then the righteous. Romans 4:5. Amen. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Righteousness. We have no merit of our own. When we trust Christ as our Savior, God places his righteousness on our account. Praise his name. His righteousness on my account. What a blessing. The psalmist declares, yet have I not seen his righteous. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, David, in Psalm 37:25. Those who have put their faith in Christ alone rest in the Lord and know that God will never forsake them. We can rest in our salvation in the fact that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's not about us. Our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We need to rest each day in the Lord and wait patiently for Him, as verse 7 says. All right, let's look at our questions. Question number one. List the commands that are given in Psalm 37, 1 through 5. Someone want to give me the first one? Verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Then verse 5. Commit thy way unto Him. Very good. Then Tuesday, according to Psalm 37:7, what causes some of us to fret? According to Psalm 37:7, what causes some of us to fret? Look at it. Because the evildoers, Lord, are prospering. They got a nice house, they got a nice car, they got a nice family, they got everything. Lord, they got it made. But what is their end? Their end is destruction. Their end is destruction. What's our end? Eternal life, eternal rest. And then the second part of that question, what are we supposed to do instead of fretting? Rest in the Lord. Amen. Wednesday, Hebrews 4, 1 through 11. What is the rest that is mentioned in verse 9? Kelly. Eternal rest. Very good. Thursday, as David looks back across his life, what is his testimony concerning the righteous? Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's people breaking bread. Very good. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. The Lord Jesus invites us to come to Him and find what? Verse 28, find rest. Verse 29, find rest unto your souls. Rest unto your souls. Then Saturday. What expression in Philippians 4, 6 and 7 encourages us to find rest in the Lord on a daily basis? Be careful for nothing. Okay, praise the Lord. Hope you found the series to be a blessing. Kelly, let's get those books out. Who? Oh, you already did. Excellent. Anybody not get one of these books? Brother Don didn't get one. He was late. You still get an A. Our first verse in the series, 1 John 1:1. 1 John 1:1, our first verse in the series. Thank you so much for coming. Anybody have a question before I blast you out of here?